Good morning. I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank Brother Tony for reading 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 5. Have you ever, or do you ever, let's put it that way, do you ever think about the only judgment that truly matters? You know, as we go about our busy days, do we stop and reflect about the coming judgment? You know, we're judged every day, are we not? Probably every place we go, everybody we meet, we're judged. We're judged many times by how we look. We're judged by the clothes we wear. We're judged by the shoes we wear. You know, a lot of times, especially on the Lord's Day, I put my suit and tie on, and Dorothy makes sure that I've got the right socks on. Because she doesn't want people judging me that, you know, that man can't dress himself. And there's been times, and I'll be honest, that I had one black sock and one blue sock. We're judged, are we not? Sometimes this judgment is from others, and sometimes it's from ourselves. Have you ever looked in the mirror and be judgmental because of the way your hair looks, or you don't like the color of your eyes, or you've got a blemish here or there, or there's a story about a man was standing on the scales to see how much he weighed. So he sucked his gut up like this, and his wife said, "That's not going to help." He said, "Yes, it does, because that's the only way I can see the numbers." She was judging her husband because he was trying not to look fat. I just tighten my belt up a little bit more every day. Sometimes the judgment is just, and sometimes it isn't. Now, in the passage that Brother Tony read a few moments ago, 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 5, Paul identifies the daily judgments that we sometimes face, and it reminds us of an important truth. So this morning, I want us to come to learn what the truth is. Just about every day, we stand before the court of public opinion. Do we not? Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self." You know, Paul here is telling us, you know, yeah, we're going to be judged. And Paul himself said, you know, being judged by you Corinthian Christians and the Jews that have infiltrated the church there, your judgment basically does nothing for me. He says, "I don't even judge my own self." Notice that Paul said that such judgments are a very small thing to him. Now, being judged by others I hope you understand that you're in very good company. Okay? Being judged by public opinion puts you in a large group of people that we can read about in the Bible. Notice first of all, Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? David, what in the world are you doing here? Oh, I know. I know your pride and the naughtiest of thine heart, and thou art come down that thou mayest see the battle." Now, we know the reason that David went, don't we? Do you remember what took place? He was carrying food to his brothers. But his brother judged him without facts. His brother laid a charge against David that was unjust. Not only was it unjust, it was untrue. Now, young David here, yeah, he probably was kind of excited to see what was happening in the battle. But being judged by his brother was unfair. David had a mission from his father to deliver food to his brother. Now, if his brother had said, "David, why are you here?" Then maybe David would have been able to say, "Well, Dad sent me here with this to give to y'all." Maybe the judgment wouldn't have been so harsh. But David was misjudged by his brother. And then we read in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 17. And it came to pass that Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, "Art thou that trouble Israel? You're the one that's been causing all of this, all these problems and all the trouble in Israel. It's your fault." But we know different, don't we? Elijah wasn't going there to cause problems. But Ahab was judgmental. Ahab was pointing the finger and blaming someone that was not guilty. This is all in the court of public opinion. Because we're judged by those outside almost every day. Do you believe me? Sit and watch some of the commercials on TV. If you're not using this product or that product, then you have a problem. You're being judged by your TV. Look at Mark chapter 3 and verse 1. Now this is really interesting here. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, "He's beside himself, passing judgment on Jesus. The man's crazy. He needs help." Jesus' own family misjudged him as being mad. Has anyone ever accused you of being crazy? I'll let y'all think about that one yourself. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 through 11. "For his letters say, they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible." They were public opinion. Paul is weak. His speech is contemptible. Yeah, he's mighty in the pen, but in the flesh, he's something else. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, and when we are absent, such will we also, or be also indeed, when we are present. Paul said it straight. They were pointing the finger, they were accusing, you know, they said Paul is basically a small man, and his speech is no good, and yeah, he writes these bold letters, but wait till you meet him. He's going to be a little mouse. Paul was misjudged by some in his own family. And then Luke chapter 6 and verse 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. We better listen to this one. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. Now there's absolutely nothing wrong with people speaking well of you. I mean, that's what we should be. We should have character that people look at us and they're not given their opinion of what they think we are. But as Christians, many times because of public opinion, we have enemies. We have those who will speak against us. Yeah, they go to church every Sunday, but man, you ought to see them on Monday. And it may not be true. Hopefully it's not true. But opinion matters, doesn't it? What happens if someone says that you're such and such when in fact you know that you're not? Does it hurt your feelings? Or do you say, wait a minute, how can you say that? You don't know me. You don't know my Christian life. I've just met you. You know, there's people in the world in this public court of a public opinion that will condemn you because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Well, then we have the court of personal opinion. You know, the court of public opinion is mighty tough. But then we have the court of personal opinion. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Paul said, I'm not worried about what you say, or of man's judgment. It makes no difference to me. You throwing rocks is not going to harm, you know, what's the old saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified? But he that justifieth me is the Lord. We may have public opinion that's judgmental towards us, but we should not let it affect our Christian lives, because in the end, their judgment, howbeit if it's false, will come to nothing. But personal opinion, how we think or feel about ourselves, is really not a safe guide. Am I right? Our personal feelings and how we feel about ourselves, many times, is not a very good and safe guide. Too many times we allow our emotions to guide us. Don't we? Don't we let our emotions, our feelings guide us? How many times have you talked with someone and the subject of religion comes up, or you may ask a blunt question, do you know Jesus? Well, I feel. What's feelings got to do with it? Now, we're, as humans, we're feeling people, are we not? As humans, we are emotional. But we cannot allow our feelings and our emotions guide us in religion. Should we? How do I know that we should not let our feelings and our emotions guide us as Christians? Proverbs 28, verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He who trusts in his emotions and his feelings is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. As Christians, how do we walk wisely? Right here. This gives us everything that we need to live a faithful Christian life. When you read and you study the Bible, do you say, well, you know, I feel that that's not really talking to me. I just don't feel that that passage has anything to do in my life. A fool trusts in his own heart. But too many times in the personal opinions, we use our feelings, our emotions to guide us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that can commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not. What in the world is Paul talking about? This was the problem that the Jews were having. They were not measuring their success. They were not measuring their life by the Word of God. They were measuring their faithfulness and their life and how they acted. They were comparing themselves to themselves. Well, look at me. Look how great I am. Look at everything that I've done. You remember the man standing on the street corner pounding his chest? And what did he say? He said, Lord, I'm glad that I'm not like that Samaritan, I believe. Look at me. Look how great I am, God. And what did the Samaritan say? He would not even raise his eyes to look into heaven. He said, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. And the parable, Jesus asked, which one of these was right? The man that was comparing himself with himself before God, or the contrite, humble man that was willing to confess that he was a sinner? Acts chapter 23 and verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Paul lived in good conscience, even while he was persecuting the church. You remember what we just talked about? That our conscience, our feelings, our emotions are not good measures of who and what we should be. Paul, everything I done with a clear conscience. I done it because I truly did believe that I was following God's command. I was following God's law. Is it good for us to decide our soul salvation by our emotions, our feelings, or is it by the Word of God? 1 John 3 and verse 20. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Too many times as Christians, we are hard on ourselves, are we not? Many times we are. We stumble and we fall and we beat ourselves up about it instead of praying for forgiveness, praying for strength, praying for courage that we will not do it again. You know why many times people don't pray for strength and courage? Because they believe that if they do that, then something's going to come upon them. You follow what I'm saying? Sometimes we believe that if we pray and ask God for strength and courage, that He's going to cause some great catastrophe to come upon us to help us learn how to have strength and courage. But brothers and sisters, we need to ask and pray for strength and courage. And we can find a lot of the answers that we need to help us to overcome by studying God's Word and not relying on our feelings and emotions. God is greater than our hearts. Yeah, our personal opinion of ourselves may see us as being lost and hopeless and unworthy. In reality, that's what we are. But by the blood of Christ, we have hope. God is greater than our emotions. God is greater than our fears. God is greater than our feelings. So in the court of personal opinion, let's not measure ourselves with ourselves. Let us measure ourselves by the Golden Rule book, the Word of God. When we look into the pages of God's Word and we see that our life is not in line with what we're reading, do we say, oh, well, that doesn't really apply to me? Or do we change what we're doing and align ourselves with the Word of God? And lastly, we come to the court of divine opinion. Divine opinion. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 4 and 5. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest or make known the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. Too many times, when you're holding a Bible study, either with friends, family, maybe even a stranger, many times that person becomes offensive because they feel that you're judging them. But you know what? It's not our job to judge. Who does the judging? Didn't Paul just say it's the Lord? We don't condemn any man or woman. What does the condemning? Who does the condemning? Is it not God's word? If you are not following God's word, then you are condemning yourself. God's judgment is infallible. Genesis chapter 18, verse 25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, if you don't know what's going on here, the Lord visited Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to Sodom and I'm going to destroy the entire city. I'm going to wipe it off the face of the earth. I'm paraphrasing, okay? I'm going to wipe it off the face of the earth. And Abraham said, wait a minute, Lord. What do you mean? You're going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? What's the righteous done that they deserve what the wicked deserve? And Abraham started bartering with the Lord. Now, wait a minute, Lord. Let's see here. If you go there and you find 50 righteous people, will you stop destroying the city? So what's the Lord say? Sure enough. If I go there and I find 50 righteous people, then I'll let Sodom stand. Well, no, wait a minute, Lord. Maybe it's 45. What if you find 45? Okay, I'll let it go. I'll let Sodom stand. What about 40? Okay. What about 30? Abraham got it all the way down to 10 individuals. Lord, if you find 10 individuals in Sodom, will you not destroy the city? Lord said, I will not destroy it if I find 10. Well, we know what happened. Sodom was destroyed because there was no righteous. In fact, Lot was the only one, and he was taken out. He was told to leave. God's judgment is thorough. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. It's all going to come out. Now, the sins that's been forgiven, that's not going to be brought up. But the things that we've done that we've not asked for and received forgiveness of, God's going to bring it out. You did this, you did that. You had the opportunity. Now, I don't know if that's exactly how it's going to go, but the idea is all things done in the body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. And God's judgment is penetrating. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What I see here is every good thing that we do, God's going to bring it out. God may praise us for those good works. But all the evil things that we've done that we've not received forgiveness for, he's not going to praise, he's going to condemn. So, we are constantly being judged by these three courts: the court of public opinion, the court of personal opinion, and the court of divine opinion. While we should be somewhat concerned about all three of them, it is only the judgment of God that really, really matters. The rest is not going to save us. Let us be more concerned with the divine opinion. Let us be more concerned with the Word of God and not so much what man may say. So, how often do you think about the divine judgment? That should be on our minds daily, because it will help us to be faithful daily. So this morning, if you're here and if you're in need of prayer, whatever the reason may be, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?